Hello, I'm Stephanie Gleason, senior reporter for The Deal, and you're listening to Fresh Start. We're here today because since the last time I spoke with Pablo, something major has happened. FTX, one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges, collapsed into Chapter 11. Some of the circumstances surrounding the situation are understood, although complicated, while others remain opaque. One thing is for sure, the Chapter 11 filing is one of the most spectacular freefalls into bankruptcy we've seen in a long time. And suddenly, no discussion of cryptocurrency firms in Chapter 11 seems complete without a mention of FTX. So we're back today with Pablo Bonjour of Mico Restructuring to talk about FTX. As you know, he was the financial advisor to Cred Inc. during its bankruptcy case and helped break down the Chapter 11 filings of Voyager and Celsius on our last episode. Pablo, thank you so much for coming back today.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So I was hoping we could kind of jump right in and you could give me an idea of what happened on a high level that drove FTX into Chapter 11 last week.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think it was a big surprise for everybody in the industry. Although I'm just going to say, I'm not really surprised, you know, given what I understand and what we spoke about last time regarding how these exchanges and these platforms operate. Given that they will extend themselves, they will take customer assets and loan those out. And any kind of volatility or liquidity where you have customers asking for their cryptocurrency back causes a major issue. And that's what happened with FTX. So the rumors started to fly that FTX might be in trouble. And Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, originally came out and said, everything's great. No problem. Don't worry about it. And what really kicked it off is Binance, who is the largest out there, actually reached out to SBF almost publicly and said, look, if you're having issues, we can consider buying you out. And so they announced that publicly. And on the first day of due diligence, Binance abruptly, about half a day in, after looking at the books, pulled out and said, based on what we just saw, we have no longer have an interest in buying this company. And that was a major, major red flag.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, it's always bad. And the fact that it happened so quickly, and then 3 days later, Friday of last week, FTX filed for bankruptcy.
And so are there any differences from what we've seen in prior Chapter 11 filing drivers that are a little different in this case compared to the Voyagers and the Celsius, the Cred filings?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, to me, it looks the same. And we're finding, obviously, a lot of this out as we speak. But and we can get into the balance sheet here in a minute. But what it looks like is they took customer assets and they lent those out, like a lot of these companies do. In this case, it looks like they lent a lot of it to themselves. That's going to be something we're going to find out through the Chapter 11 process. But so far, it's looking like the majority of those assets may have gone to the other internal FTX companies like Alameda Research, specifically because they've stated that. And they're saying that Alameda owes FTX $10 billion. If you look at the balance sheet, you know, they've got liabilities to customers at least for $8.8 billion, possibly more.
Right. So Alameda is another company owned by SBF that is associated with FTX, and they all filed for Chapter 11, but it looks like there was internal lending. And then I know from covering the Voyager case that Alameda was lending to Voyager. And I know there were other crypto companies earlier that they were lending to as well. So we don't know exactly yet what happened with those funds, but we're going to possibly be finding out.
Right. Yeah. Part of the bankruptcy process will be to dig into that and find out exactly where those funds went.
And so a couple of days ago, the Financial Times published what seems to be a balance sheet from FTX. We're not the first people to look at this and try and understand what's going on, but I really wanted to ask your thoughts on it. I'm wondering what you can kind of gather from the balance sheet, what kind of predictions you can make based on this information about what's to come in the bankruptcy case?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So I've had a chance to quickly review the balance sheet that's been floating around. And for now, let's just take it at face value.
Right.
Liabilities are indicating approximately $8.8 billion. The liquid assets, as far as what they can quickly sell as value, is at $900 million. So right there, you've got, you know, 10 to 1 ratio, which, you know, again, for a bankruptcy, that's not uncommon. I mean, we see that all the time. So that's not necessarily, you know, out of the realm of normalcy in bankruptcy. If you look at some of the, they refer to as the less liquid assets, and I haven't done a deep dive on this, but kind of going through some of those may have some value. I know that some of them are down significantly recently, and some of those are FTT themselves. It's their own, and that's down to $1.50 today. I don't know that that number that we see there is accurate. It's probably less than that. And same thing with SRM. That's an associated token created by FTX as well for the Solana blockchain protocol. Again, don't know how much that's going to be worth. And same thing with MAP. So some of the largest assets that they have in the less liquid category, I don't know that they're worth as much as stated on here, probably significantly less. I would say at least 50% or less.
I was hoping you could give us a little bit more information. FTT and these other internal tokens, I know it came up in the lead up to the bankruptcy. So they're assets that were created by FTX. Is that correct?
Right. So one is the FTT is the FTX cryptocurrency token that typically represents FTX, almost like a stock, but not.
And the value of it has obviously declined.
Correct. So the $553 million that they're indicating as of last week, first of all, just on the face value, that number is probably significantly lower. And then, you know, let's say it's half that amount. So it's $250 million. The reality is, can you go out there and dump $250 million of FTT and get that much for it? Probably not, because the market would just tank and the prices that you would get for it would evaporate. So the reality is, that FTT number is significantly lower in terms of its actual value. Same thing with SRM, Serum. Same thing with Solana. Although SOL is a real cryptocurrency and technically is independent of FTX, that one could have some value. I think it was down 40% recently in light of all this news that's going on. And again, the rest of these, then you get down to some locked stablecoin maps, same thing that kind of falls under that umbrella of SRM as well. So really, if I'm looking at the less liquid category, I think if you're able to get 10 or 20 cents on the dollar out of that, I think that's probably realistic at this point.
And then there's one last category that he calls illiquid. What about those assets?
Right. You know, you've got something on there called Trump Lose.
Right.
for $7 million, you've got some Twitter in there. Again, if I'm looking at the total value there, it's indicating $3.2 billion. If you're getting 10 cents on the dollar on that or 5 cents, you'd be lucky.
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing to ask about, although I don't expect you to be able to make much sense of this part of it, but there's a category called hidden poorly internally labeled fiat account with negative $8 billion and withdrawals on Sunday with $5 billion. Obviously, we'll learn more in the bankruptcy case about what that means, but any thoughts about what that could indicate for the overall finances?
Yeah, that's, well, first of all, after I picked my jaw up off the ground when I saw that, you know, anytime that you have a spreadsheet and you have the word hidden on there next to an entry, yeah, it's bad. And the fact that it's an $8 billion number and it's got a negative. And now here's the thing, they don't take that $8 billion and marry that to the liabilities, right? Otherwise, that would be $16 billion liability. So I'm just as curious as the rest of the world as to what that is. We don't know if that's something that somebody made as an entry or as in maybe a pre-estimate as to what they thought their liabilities were. I mean, it's purely speculation at this point. The $5 billion in withdrawals, of course, that was essentially the run that occurred after all that happened with, you know, FTX last week and rumors and all of that stuff. And that caused liquidity crisis. So that, I think, speaks for itself, but that's already factored out of the liabilities. So they had the $13.8 billion in liabilities minus the $5 billion withdrawals. That lowered it to $8.8 billion. So that makes sense there. And I think, you know, when you look at a spreadsheet like this and you look at the assets very quickly, I mean, the only thing that you can really look at as a real asset is the liquid side. So we can say comfortably it's at 900 million. Of course, of that amount, half of it is in Robinhood. And I know that getting some downward pressure, and I don't know that you could dump that much into the market without also hurting that. So it's not something that you could liquidate overnight and still retain that value. So in that perspective, if you assign a 10 or 20 cents recovery on the dollar for the other two less liquid and liquid categories, you know, you're looking at another billion there. So maybe they have 2 billion in real liquid assets net compared to 8.8 billion. So they've got at least one, I can see a $5.5 billion hole. That's not including the mysterious $8 billion fiat hidden amount. I don't know what that is. Now, and I'm not here to defend FTX, obviously, but because they have about 130 plus different companies, we know one of those is FTX US. And if we believe what we've heard before, and that is that that's a very well-run company, one-to-one assets to liabilities, et cetera, that's yet to be seen. There may be some value there. And I know that the newly appointed CEO, John J. Ray, who has a lot of experience in restructuring, has already assigned 4 or 5 individuals to head some of these companies. So they're going to try to get their arms around that to see if there's a reorganization opportunity. Maybe you can sell these off one by one. So from a restructuring perspective, if I'm representing the debtor, if I'm representing FTX, I've got a $5 or $6 billion hole. You know, my question is, can I make it up with the value of these entities? Maybe. I'm not saying it's possible, but there's at least something there. And so I think it'll be interesting.
So Pablo, if you were to come into a situation with this, you know, the company's filed for bankruptcy and this is what you're seeing, how bad is this? How unusual is it for a company that's in bankruptcy, this to be the situation?
Yeah, good question. From a restructuring perspective, as far as the liabilities to assets ratio, that's not necessarily anything new per se. We've seen a lot of cases a lot worse. I think what makes this especially bad, though, is that, you know, FTX was almost like a white knight here recently. They came in as saving Voyager. They made this $1.4 billion bid. You know, they touted themselves as one of the largest exchanges, strong financially. And for this to go from, hey, I'm a savior to, oh, yeah, I'm just like everybody else, I think that's done a lot of damage, even more to the industry than you can possibly have done. And I think that that's probably the biggest loss here. I think it's, you know, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, it doesn't matter what the exchange is, platform, et cetera. If you're running this type of a model, then inevitably you're running a high level of risk. And if you have a run on the bank situation, you have a liquidity issue, and you didn't manage those assets appropriately, and you're going to get caught like FTX did, and the whole thing's going to unravel immediately. There's no way around it. So from that perspective, I'm not surprised. But I think what it does do is now highlight the fact that we definitely need some regulation sooner rather than later, and not just the United States, but globally. And I think from an investment standpoint, investor standpoint, they really see it now. So if there's a positive here, is that awareness is key. And that regulatory standards need to be improved, and we need to have a lot more regulation. And I think you're going to see that now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pablo, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about FTX. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
I'm Stephanie Gleason, and you've been listening to Fresh Start.